Try it today.
I wanted to say a few words this morning about the passing of an extraordinary leader, Senator Edward Kennedy. Over the past several years, I've had the honor to call Teddy a colleague, a counselor, and a friend. And even though we have known this day was coming for some time now, we awaited it with no small amount of dread. Since Teddy's diagnosis last year, we've seen the courage with which he battled his illness. And while these months have no doubt been difficult for him, they've also let him hear from people in every corner of our nation and from around the world just how much he meant to all of us. His fight has given us the opportunity we were denied when his brothers John and Robert were taken from us. The blessing of time to say thank you and goodbye. The outpouring of love, gratitude, and fond memories to which we've all borne witness is a testament to the way this singular figure in American history touched so many lives. His ideas and ideals are stamped on scores of laws and reflected in millions of lives. In seniors who know new dignity, in families that know new opportunity, in children who know education's promise, and in all who can pursue their dream in an America that is more equal and more just, including myself. The Kennedy name is synonymous with the Democratic Party, and at times Ted was the target of partisan campaign attacks. But in the United States Senate, I can think of no one who engendered greater respect or affection from members of both sides of the aisle. His seriousness of purpose was perpetually matched by humility, warmth, and good cheer. He could passionately battle others and do so peerlessly on the Senate floor for the causes that he held dear, and yet still maintain warm friendships across party lines. And that's one reason he became not only one of the greatest senators of our time, but one of the most accomplished Americans ever to serve our democracy. His extraordinary life on this earth has come to an end. An extraordinary good that he did lives on. For his family, he was a guardian. For America, he was a defender of a dream. I spoke earlier this morning to Senator Kennedy's beloved wife, Vicky, who was to the end such a wonderful source of encouragement and strength. Our thoughts and prayers are with her, his children, Kara, Edward, and Patrick, his stepchildren, Curran and Caroline, the entire Kennedy family, decades worth of his staff, the people of Massachusetts, and all Americans who, like us, love Ted Kennedy.
Often called the Lion of the Senate, Ted Kennedy, it happened we were on the last show of America Tonight. Now people reacting to it, including rather President Obama. So there is bipartisan kinds of salutes and accolades, despite some of the vicious battles back and forth with the Democrats, particularly Ted Kennedy, and the Republicans over many, many decades and many, many different issues. We'll dive further into that and hear what some other people had to say. Plus, we're going to talk with somebody who was instrumental in putting an excellent piece together for the History Channel on the moon, and you know how I'm fascinated by the moon. We're going to talk about that as well coming up in another 15 minutes. But first, let's go to Easy Ticket Mike to talk a little sports. He is a ticket broker. You can go to easy-ticket.com. Hey, Easy Ticket Mike, how are you?
I'm doing great, Kate. How are you doing?
Good. Let's dive into it. I'm going to go to, of course, this is a national show, and I've been to most of the stadiums across the U.S. I feel pretty fortunate to say that. I'm going to go to the Cowboys' new stadium. I'm going to be in a suite on Saturday as they take on San Francisco. And I hear the sound is a little bit to be desired or has a little bit to be desired, but I'll be curious to see what it's like to actually see a game there.
Well, if they don't hit the big screen again with a punt, we're fine.
No kidding. So it is the preseason, and, you know, to me, the preseason, there's not much to talk about. You're seeing maybe some of the people that might make it in, that might have a different role on a team or two, but it's just too early to get a handle on anything, don't you think?
Yeah, I look at preseason you know, not being much of anything. I look for, like, Philadelphia. They're 0-2 in the preseason right now. I was saying that if they go 0-4, they're probably a shoe-in for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no kidding. And to emphasize, you have tickets to any of these games across the United States, right?
Yeah, we've got you know, preseason tickets, but we mainly have season tickets and some really choice seats for some really fantastic games. You know, we concentrate, you know, kind of on the Dallas, Fort Worth, and Texas area, but we've got, you know, tickets in Giant Stadium. We've got tickets in East Rutherford. We've got tickets for pretty much any game out there.
All right, excellent. And college football, a little bit sooner. They start next week. Hard to believe that we're going to be talking about college football. I love college football. I mean, across the board, you can talk about any conference. And, of course, Florida came out of the gate number one. I don't think that's a surprise that the Gators achieved that, you know, for the polls that are already out. It's always interesting to see what happens in the first couple of weeks, and it'll be interesting to see ultimately who gets to that national title game. I mean, we could throw out predictions, but it's almost the same thing. You know who the powerhouses are, but it's too early to tell, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. Like this next week, Thursday starts the regular season for college football. There's one big game then. It's we're looking at. Well, the biggest game then is Boise State and Oregon. They're number 14 and 16 ranked right now. But Saturday, the Crimson Tide will be visiting the Hokies in Virginia Tech. And, I think that just might be the first upset we see in the year. I'm looking for maybe Virginia Tech to beat the Crimson.
Yeah, no kidding. And, of course, baseball, we're running out of time, but we're in the thick of it there. We keep talking about that every single week. It's the same characters, the Phillies, the Dodgers, et cetera, the Yankees. But for people who could care less about sports who are listening, concert tickets are always available. So Kiss is touring again. You mentioned that. I remember seeing Kiss when I was like 14 with a little nephew. Britney Spears, Metallica. So it's a wide range of acts, right?
Oh yeah, there's a slew of different concerts out and about. A lot of country western groups, heavy metal, rap stars. I mean, there's anything that you want, we can find tickets for you and get you some really choice seats. But there's tremendous number of things for both concerts and any game that you want.
All right, so go to easy-ticket.com, and if you haven't been to a concert in a while, might be the chance to go and see Metallica or Kiss or some of the other acts that are out there. Mike, you have a great week.
You too, Kate.
Talk to you next week. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about the moon. Rod Pyle has actually was instrumental. He was the writer-producer of Modern Marvels, Apollo 11, on the History Channel. Do you remember watching that? It's funny, I can remember watching that, so I'm psyched to have him on. That's next on ATN.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit purebulk.com. That's purebulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Hello, Ted Anderson. Listeners of the network are familiar with the Federal Reserve note and understand the risks of deficit spending. Therefore, with catastrophic events, it comes as no surprise that some banks have currently placed limits on the amount of cash depositors can remove from their accounts. A fractional reserve system means only a small portion of your deposit is held in reserve for immediate withdrawal. Deficit spending will skyrocket through FDIC if the government is forced to insure deposits during a bank run followed by a depressed economy. A current effort is underway by the Fed, along with other central banks, to increase liquidity for depositors. However, an increase in money supply without equal expansion in productivity can cause inflation. In order to achieve strength and stability, I recommend a conservative portion of all investments to be calmly repositioned into gold and silver. While paper investments currently have been driven by debt, gold on its own has held value for over 6,000 years. For more information, call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
If you or your parents are 62 years of age or older and a homeowner, RMApply.com has a message that is vitally important for you and your family. Did you know that you may be eligible for up to $625,000 in HECM benefits? Visit RMApply.com and apply for free to see how much you are entitled to. Right now, people just like you are taking advantage of their benefits and using the money to pay off debt, purchase precious metals, stock up on storable foods, and support this show's sponsors. You may be entitled to hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's your money, and you're entitled to it. Apply for free at rmapply.com. That's the letter R, the letter M, apply.com. rmapply.com. Or call them today for a free, no-obligation evaluation to see how much you qualify for. Call 713-551-1155. That's 713-551-1155 today.
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control.
Okay, so how many people remember tuning in on the History Channel to Modern Marvels Apollo 11? I was like glued to that show. The writer, the producer of that, Rod Pyle, joins us now. He knows just about everything, as they say, and anything that you would want to know about the space program. Ooh, what a pleasure it is to have him here. Let's usher him in from the green room. Hey, Rod, thanks for hanging with us. We appreciate it.
What a build-up. Thank you.
So let's start there, actually. It really was. It was so well done. Was when you get that tap from the History Channel, of course, you know, you have the degree from the big school, and you've got a bunch of books certainly on the subject. I mean, you know this area, right? But still, it's got to be pretty cool to get that deal with the History Channel, write it, put it together, and then watch it unfold. What was that like for you? Was that like giving birth?
It's a lot of fun. I don't know what it's like to give birth because I haven't tried it yet. I'll leave that to you. But no, it's a lot of fun, and, you know, I'd probably do it for free, but I try not to let them know that because I'm sure they'd take advantage of it.
What did you find out about Apollo 11 that you didn't know when you were doing all the research?
That's a really fabulous question. What I found out for that show was that shortly after they made that harrowing landing, where they had somewhere between 17 and 30 seconds of fuel left, depending on how you read the gauge. They were sitting there. They were down. Everybody had relaxed. And then at Mission Control, they noticed pressure building up on a gauge, and they realized there was an ice plug on one of the fuel lines in the lunar module, and pressure was building up. And if it didn't relieve itself pretty quickly, they could have a catastrophic explosion. But they kept it very quiet. And after a little bit of time, the residual heat in the engine melted it, and it went away. But it certainly was never mentioned by Walter Cronkite. So
yeah, no kidding.
I had to find it out 35 years later, you know.
Yeah. In all of, you know, in the books you've written and the research you've done and just, I'm assuming that you always were interested in NASA and space flight and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure you've met a bunch of the different astronauts. Who's the coolest guy that you ever met of everybody in the program?
You know, it's a split between Charlie Duke of Apollo 16 and Al Bean of Apollo 12. Al Bean is, he came back and he spent some more time working with Skylab and so forth, and then he decided to become a painter. And he paints mostly Apollo-themed artwork that's just wonderful and wonderfully expressive and scenes that couldn't possibly have ever been seen, but he was there, so he knows what they look like. Charlie Duke, on the other hand, is a very fun-loving, kind of affable, real smart, but he comes off kind of like a country guy, and he's just a blast to talk to, and really, they're both really friendly and warm guys.
Yeah. Did, you know, when you, I'm sure you watched the whole Tom Hanks thing when he put this all together. Did you like his version?
I did, you know, but I knew that I was a geek, so of course I was going to, because I had lived this the first time around when I was about 11 years old, and you know, hung on to every second of the moonwalks that they'd show when they weren't being interrupted by soap operas and so forth, which is kind of hard to believe now. But, you know, I wondered how the average person would respond to it. It did okay, but I think it was a little... You're talking about the show, not the movie,
yeah.
Right?
I'm talking about the show, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It felt like a little in-depth, and a couple of them got a little obscure. But, I mean, did you ever see a better movie about space than Apollo 13?
No, that was. I think it was the best. I think it was riveting.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. And I think if there were a younger generation who have no clue about space or the importance of space or what it would be like or any of that kind of stuff, I think they would be just as riveted as the rest of us that are interested in it were.
We hope. You know, those, occasionally those are the people that wander up after a talk or something and say, So when is it we landed people on Mars? And you got to go, oh, I'm sorry. The moon, not Mars. Oh.
Yeah. No kidding.
Who knew?
Exactly. The moon, going back to the moon, your thoughts on that?
Well, boy, you know, when the 40th anniversary celebration was going on, they interviewed the three guys from Apollo 11, Armstrong, Aldrin, and Collins. Was I surprised when Aldrin said, well, we really think we ought to go back to Mars. And then Collins kind of agreed, and Armstrong, as usual, stayed quiet. And I'm not going to go up against those guys because they're the gods, you know. But my fear is if we don't – if we try and adjust that aim now with the moon program already in jeopardy, which it is once again – that we're just not going to end up going anywhere. So I think just from a practical standpoint, and also because going to the moon helps you learn an awful lot about going on to Mars. We don't really have the stuff yet to go to Mars in most engineers' opinions. We do have the stuff to go to the moon. We can stay there. The longer we stay there, the better we develop our spacesuits, our life support capabilities, all that kind of stuff, and then we can take that next step.
Yeah, you know, Rod, I'm a big fan, obviously, of NASA, and I've got a cousin that works at the Johnson Center and all that kind of stuff, so I'm a little bit geeky when it comes to it. But I'll get callers when I start to talk about it that'll say, oh, Kate, geez, we like the show, but, you know, all that money, why are we pouring all that money down the drain? So the obvious thing to ask is, how has this benefited us for all the exploration, all the things that have happened? What, as far as technology is concerned, has really come about because of those trips?
Well, digital computing as we know it is almost, at least in the form that we use at home, is almost entirely based on the technology that they evolved for Apollo. But I'd back up one more step, because you hear it again and again, oh, we're firing all that money into space. And you get this vision in your mind of this shoveling gold doubloons into the command module and launching it off. And that money spent here on Earth in the U.S., other than defense and weapons, name me one thing that we spend money on that's done entirely here, that's technological. It's all made here. It's all spent here. It creates jobs. It advances technology. And probably most important, it encourages kids to go into science. And it sends money off to colleges and universities that need it for research programs. And suddenly we're technologically strong again instead of lagging behind three or four other major powers. So I think that's even more important than the technology that evolves, although that's important too, obviously.
Yeah, no kidding. And then, you know, the other question that you get asked about all the time, and certainly on a show like this I get asked about it, and we've had people on talking about global warming versus, oh, it's all a hoax, et cetera. yeah, I like that giggle in the background. What have we learned about, you know, as far as global warming is concerned because of space technology?
I think they've learned just about everything that can be proven from orbit, except for, is this specifically caused by human activity or not? Depending on who you read, as you know, you hear both sides of that argument. But obviously from orbit, you can exactly measure the melting of the glaciers. You can exactly measure the kind of melting and breaking that's occurring in the Antarctic and in the Arctic, and the shrinking of the ice and weather patterns globally. So you have a wonderful view of that from unmanned satellites and from the shuttle and from the space station. The question is why? You know, is this a cyclical thing across the course of geologic history, or is it something that we've caused? When you really, I mean, just my opinion, it has nothing to do with NASA, but if you look at the amount of material that's been put in the atmosphere since the Industrial Revolution, you know, that's a lot of volcanic eruptions worth of ash and CO2, so you got to figure that it has something to do with our activity. But is it entirely based on that? We don't know.
Yeah, boy, that's a good way to finish that. We don't know. We're almost out of time, but the shuttle program almost done. Have you ever been to Cape Canaveral? Have you seen one of those puppies lift off?
I did. I saw one shuttle launch, and I went to see STS-127 launch and waited out three non-launches, and finally wandered out to the beach to see the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter take off on an Atlas. That was my consolation prize. But there's nothing quite like a shuttle launch. If we ever get the Ares 5 built, that'll be just as spectacular, right down to the solid rocket boosters. But, you know, if you or anybody you know has a chance to go see a shuttle launch, if you haven't, it's well worth it, because it'll really put a lump in your throat, especially if you can get to the viewing point anywhere from 3 to 5 miles away, which is about where the press box is. The subsonic vibration, you can't even hear the subsonics, but they just come passing through you like freight cars. It's really an amazing thing.
Oh, I've already applied so that I can get that credential, so I like that description.
Good for you.
I hope I get there. Hey, you've got a great website. Tell everybody your website.
www.missionstothemoon.com.
Missions to the Moon. Rod, it was a pleasure. Will you come on with us again sometime?
Anytime. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Rod Pyle. Interesting stuff. And talking about space exploration, it's really true. I did apply for a press credential because I would like to see a shuttle launch since the program is almost over with. And if I have to wait it out, and I want to do the America Tonight from there, and wouldn't that be fun? And we'll see if it happens. Of course, we've got a whole year because they've got a whole another year of shuttle launches. Hopefully I can get in on one of those. On the flip side, you can get in. 800-259-5791 will tell you what's up on the day next.
This mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com, or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables, ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
We flip backwards the calendar as we move forward a day. In other words, we're looking back in history. Hey, everybody. Kate hanging with you here on ATN. A couple of quick things to throw at you that happened on this day in history. Topping the charts in 1986, Papa Don't Preach, Madonna. That was a big hit. Remember that? Higher Love, Steve Winwood. Strong Heart, T.J. Shepherd. And Venus, from a group called Bananarama. If we dig back a little bit further, Pete in Michigan could appreciate this, I would think. In 1954, the Crew Cuts had a song called Shaboom. That was the big hit. Also, I Don't Hurt Anymore. That was Hank Snow. The Little Shoemaker, the Gaylords, Hey There, Rosemary Clooney. And Clooney, she was the sexy siren in the certainly in the late 40s, early 50s. If we jump up to 62, Bobby Darin did a song called Things. Ray Charles, You Don't Know Me. That's a good song. I like the lyrics. And Locomotion, Little Eva, which was later redone, was a hit song as well. If we go to the 70s, War, Edwin Starr. You still hear that all the time. Spill the Wine, you hear that a lot. Bread with Make It With You, you still hear that a ton. Sonny James, Don't Keep Me Hanging On. Coming up, we'll do that, but not in this segment. And then also, news you can abuse and birthdays, of course. In the meantime, Ted Kennedy, for the next couple of days, certainly people are going to be talking about Kennedy as he will be buried in Arlington National Cemetery. He'll be eulogized and whatnot in a church in Boston. And then, as I said, they'll move on to the burial site at the Arlington National Cemetery. And once again, he was in the Army in the 50s for 3 years, and that's why he's eligible to be buried there. So he'll be buried near both of his brothers. So, and all the people remembering, former President Jimmy Carter was asked about Ted Kennedy. Here were his thoughts.
Well, Rosen is here with me. We've been in Israel this morning and now in the West Bank. And we've already expressed our personal condolences and prayers to the Kennedy family with a firm expression from our family that we've never seen anyone in the Senate that more assiduously and constantly and enthusiastically dedicated his life to trying to make sure that everything that the U.S. government decided was in the best interest of the people who were deprived or poor or neglected or felt the ravages of discrimination. And we really appreciate what Ted Kennedy meant to us personally and to our nation. And I don't think there's anybody either that can say that there's ever been a more effective senator in promoting his own ideals, which are very high, than Ted Kennedy did. Well, I don't think there's any doubt that as far as my family is concerned, it was what Ted Kennedy and his son in the House of Representatives did working with Rosalynn, my wife, in making possible legislation last year that eliminated the discrimination against mentally ill people and put the mentally ill on the same basis with physically ill people as far as getting guarantees of adequate insurance is concerned. This is something on which my wife worked since even before I ever went into national politics when I was governor. And this was kind of the culmination of her achievement in removing the stigma from mental health, mental illness, and promoting mental health on an equal basis. And what Ted Kennedy did in the Senate and what his son did in the House of Representatives culminated in the legislation that was passed. So this is the most important single piece of legislation that affected our family.
All right, so that's Jimmy Carter once again.
Not at all. I have just the opposite impression of that.
That was Jimmy Carter once again, the former president, one of the many people remembering Ted Kennedy. Ted Kennedy, not the only death to report, Dominic Dunn. Anybody know Dominic Dunn? He died in New York City, 83 years old. He did a lot of crime stories. He sold a ton, well, I should say a ton, he sold a lot of books and definitely wrote magazine articles. I thought his articles were good in Vanity Fair. He wrote a book called Another City, Not My Own. It was about the O.J. Simpson murder trial. He covered that wall to wall. He died at his house. Again, he was 83. He had been battling bladder cancer, and I guess it wasn't as widely known. He had been going for some treatments, in fact, at one of the same clinics in Germany, that Farrah Fawcett, where she was going in Bavaria. They didn't run into each other, but they were both there for a bunch of experimental treatments. He even went to the Dominican Republic for the experimental stem cell treatments, but in the end he lost his battle. And, excuse me, he lived in Manhattan, and he was starting to write his memoirs, and he was posting messages on his website and all that sort of stuff. And I'll tell you, if anybody remembers the sight of O.J. Simpson during that famous moment of the glove, they remember Dunn, who was sitting right there behind him. And as I said, he was there every single day covering that trial. He ended up getting a lot of television coverage as somebody who was analyzing what was happening. I read one of his books when I was in school. It was called The Two Mrs. Greenvilles, and that was a thing about a murder that it's a retelling of a 50 Society murder. And It kind of coincided when his 22-year-old daughter was strangled by her boyfriend after she had done her first movie. She was a promising young actress. That movie was Poltergeist. If you remember the older daughter in Poltergeist, that was Dominic Dunn's daughter. And he took all kinds of assignments. He was definitely well-known. He liked to socialize. He even got involved in some television and got involved in some plays and that sort of stuff. He also had a son named Griffin Dunn, who you would recognize his face. He's done a lot of movies and TV as well. So a sad day for the Vanity Fair people. And Dominic Dunn was a guy who pushed for justice sometimes when, excuse me, there wasn't any other reason in the room. He would show up at those, at many trials, and he too was a very popular writer and popular among his peers too. I didn't get to this story, but I thought it was so interesting. In fact, I saw it in Newsweek Ben Bernanke just gets the nod to continue as the Federal Reserve Chairman. You think what's going on with our monetary system, you could scratch your head, but then you say, well, who else are they throwing up there to do that job? So it turns out that he was one of hundreds of people who were part of an identity fraud ring that stole $2.1 million, remember? Remember, this was a while ago when we talked about this, but he was somebody that was part of this because what happened was he got involved in this scam after somebody stole his wife's purse in August of last year and began cashing checks on the family's bank account. And it turned out that purse snatcher was working for that crime ring that the feds and the cops in a bunch of states had been investigating for months. So she wasn't specifically targeted. It just so happened that she was, you know, the guy who ripped her off was part of that ring. What an idiot of all the people to rip off. So the theft of that checkbook became part of that investigation by the Secret Service and the United States Postal Inspection Service, which had already been underway. So they had all these arrests, remember, and all these indictments happened. The feds nailed them in Alexandria, Virginia. And what it turned out to be is the ringleader, you gotta love this name, Big Head, pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit bank fraud just last month. What happened was he hired a bunch of pickpockets, mail thieves, office workers, this is so scary, to swipe checks and credit cards, military IDs, and personal records, so that he just basically hired people and let them go wild all over the place. So there were lots of different ways they could have, you know, stolen your identity. And you see all those commercials about identity theft and you think, yeah, but I've got all the protections out there. Well, not if someone, you know, slammed you in the head and grabbed your purse, or they stole the mail, or they stole your military ID. So there were like 500 different separate incidents as a result of that, of his ring. It was a very, very big ring. And it took them a while to bust that open, obviously. And luckily they caught them all. But when you're going through that, if anybody listening to me has done the identity theft thing, if something's happened to you, it is the worst thing ever. Because, sure, you can call and or your bank can say, oh, we see suspicious activity. In fact, that just recently happened to me. And I don't know how they got my bank thing or whatever, my debit card, but they did catch it. The bank did catch it, did call me, and it's fine. It worked out okay. It wasn't too much in my case. It was just a tiny, tiny bit of money, and that's why they said they stopped it, because they thought they were going to keep trying to drain it. So if you've been involved in that, like you lost a card or somebody swiped your numbers or whatever, you know what a nightmare it is, because you have to sign these affidavits, you have to call up, they look at your account, they try to decide. And the bottom line is, yes, you can get the money back and they'll put it back in your account and all that stuff, or refund it or whatever it is. But it doesn't happen overnight. And with so many people living paycheck to paycheck, it's not like they have millions of dollars in the bank and, oh, geez, somebody ripped off $10,000 or whatever. The point being, they're draining people's bank account. And that happened to a lot of people in that case in Manhattan, where they found a zero balance and they had bills they were paying or whatever. And then, of course, they bounce. And by the time you sort everything out, it's just, let's just say, it's just not a lot of fun. And if you catch it early enough, obviously that's the best thing that can possibly happen, because then that means less phone calls, less proving that you didn't go to the Gap and you lost a bunch of weight and suddenly you ordered $5,000 worth of jeans, or for whatever reason. Scary, scary stuff. All right, coming up on the flip side, birthdays. Those who are celebrating yet another year on the planet Earth. This day in history, and of course, news you can abuse.
Being a part of Life Change Tea has been an exhilarating experience. I love the testimonies. Julie in New York writes, I love this product. I feel great. It worked immediately. You can feel the cleansing right away. Other products don't work right away like this one does. Mrs. Luella from Missouri writes, my daughter has lost 27 pounds. She loves the tea. And David from Tennessee writes, my wife has a lot of digestive problems and the tea really helps her a lot. I like it too. And here's my favorite from CJ in Minnesota. He writes, this stuff really works. No, I mean it really works. No, I mean it really works. Be one of the many testimonies that we receive every month. Order today online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. You know the number, 928-308-0408. Be our next testimony. You love us, and we love you.
Did you know that there are tiny hidden radio transmitters, also known as RFID chips, in millions of passports, credit cards, and licenses? In the current state of the economy, it's no surprise that identity theft has increased. With current technology, thieves can purchase a simple device online that allows them to steal your credit card number and other personal information by scanning your wallet or purse. Think of this identity theft device as a garage door opener. You push a button and within a certain distance, your door opens. Thieves get near you, push a button, and these tiny radios give out personal information. Put a stop to identity theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. Here you will find radio blocking secure sleeves. Simply place your credit cards and passports into these slim, lightweight sleeves, and you will put a stop to anyone trying to collect your private information. For around $5, you will be protected against RFID theft. Visit IDStronghold.com. That's IDStronghold.com. Or call 1-800-610-2770. 1-800-610-2770 today.
For years, doctors and researchers have known that one of the major pathways to better health is an alkaline diet rich in minerals and antioxidants to keep the body in proper pH balance. For 15 years, people had trusted AlkaZone, the simplest way of keeping the body in pH balance, getting rid of acidic waste buildup, and boosting the immune system through antioxidant support. AlkaZone's unique formula contains potassium, magnesium, calcium, zinc, and the antioxidant selenium, along with 79 trace minerals from ancient marine deposits. Unlike other products, AlkaZone is odorless and tasteless and can be added to any beverage to offset its acidity. AlkaZone also manufactures antioxidant water fountains that will both filter and raise the pH of the tap water in your home to a pH of 10. To learn more and to place your order for a 45-day supply for only $25, visit AlkaZone.com. That's AlkaZone.com. Use coupon code RADIO and receive a limited-time discount. Call AlkaZone today at 1-800-810-1888. That's 1-800-810-1888.
Madonna for you. Not Papa Don't Preach, but Like a Virgin, which of course was the song that put her really, I think, on the map. There was a lot of buzz over that, if you remember, in the 80s. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, the name of the show. You can shoot us an email about any of the things we've talked about, or suggestions, complaints, your mama's recipe for apple pie. I do need a good apple pie recipe that doesn't use a ton of sugar. AmericaTonight.net. I've decided I'm going to expand. I'm going to learn how to make a pie. Guys listening to me, can any of you cook? Does anyone out there know how to bake a pie? Like right now, my skills when it comes to baking, Toll House cookies, cut them up, throw them on the sheet, bake them, they're done. Doesn't really count so well. What can you do? Preseason football continues. I mentioned that I'm going to go to a game, San Francisco at the Dallas Cowboys, this Saturday, so I can get a look at their billion-dollar, how crazy is that? How did they get the voters to approve that billion-dollar stadium? Because they, the voters, the people that live in that area in Arlington, Texas, had to agree to support at least financing part of that stadium, which has these giant screens. Supposedly it's just absolutely incredible, even though the sound is a little bit funny on the inside. John Madden, as many of you know, is, I think I've said this before, if anybody you see on the tube, whoever you like, don't like, you watch Fox, you like Bill O'Reilly, or whoever it is that you like Ed Schultz on MSNBC, or whoever it is that you watch, that you like, etc. They have a thing called a Q rating, and it has to do with your popularity. And John Madden had just off-the-chart Q ratings. People liked him, related to him, and forever and ever he was the face of football. It didn't matter what network he was on. So this year he's not part of any broadcast. He's retired. He decided it was time to step away. So Chris Collinsworth steps in, and it's Al Michaels, and the two of them are doing the Sunday show on NBC. Here's what he said about what he'll miss the most about broadcasting and being part of football and all that sort of stuff.
Well, you know, it makes me feel good. I mean, it's something that, you know, I just enjoyed and loved, and I really, you know, enjoyed fans and travel and meeting people and, you know, kind of being part of everything. And you know, when you miss it, it's kind of like players say, you know, they miss the camaraderie, they miss the team, and it's the same thing here. You know, I'm going to miss broadcasting, I'm going to miss traveling, going to practice, talking to players, to coaches, talking to fans, stopping on the road someplace in the middle of the country and going into a restaurant. And I'm going to miss all that stuff because everything that I did in broadcasting, I love.
All right, so he had passion. You could tell he had passion for it because he was a player, he was a coach, and then ultimately he was a guy that was in the booth and calling the games, and the players liked him, and he got to know the players, and he's famous for not wanting to travel, to fly, so he took that bus, and that became his signature thing. And he lived in outside of San Francisco, so he'd have to travel some pretty far places. I can imagine he was probably never, ever home. Certainly during the stretch of the football season, it would be sporadic when he was back because they would have to go all the way back to the Bay Area to take John Madden back home. And in between games, when they're closer, of course, it would make sense that he would stay and travel to those games from there. I think he's going to be missed this year in football. And the reason I bring that up is because we do this thing called Nail the Score. As much as we talk about politics, and you know I'm passionate about that, and that's the big thing about let's find out what's going on and have the conversation and all of that, sometimes you have to lighten the load because we do live on this planet, and thanks to our founding fathers, we have the chance to enjoy whatever it is you like to do, whether it is sit in your rear end on the couch and watch college football and pro football, mow the lawn, hang out with your kids, go to the beach, whatever it is. You got to take a few seconds to chill, to enjoy what we have in front of us, right? So we do this thing called Nail the Score. You don't have to know anything about football. I pick the game of the week, and I'll tell you the reasons why I pick who I pick, and then ultimately what I think the final score is going to be. So that's all you have to do. You just tell us a numeric score, just like circling numbers in the lottery, and you can win some fabulous prizes. I just got a whole bunch of games. So I've got games and movie tickets and a cell phone and just an incredible, incredible prize from America Tonight, if you are lucky enough to win that. Coming up, we got birthdays like Tuesday Weld, Barbara Bach, Pee Wee Herman, I mentioned him before, Alexa Vega, if you don't know who that is, I'll tell you. But first, a couple of quick news you can abuse, and then this day in history. This was one of the wildest stories, and I can remember, I think at one point in my life, going by this building in Greenwich Village. It's 9.5 feet wide, 42 feet long, and it's the narrowest house in New York City. It's very cool looking. You know what they're asking for that? $2.7 million. Yeah. It was built in 1873, so it's kind of sandwiched in a very narrow space because it used to be an alley. It's a curiosity, obviously. It's photographed all the time. There's a small plaque on the house that notes some famous people who lived there, like anthropologist Margaret Mead at one point in her life lived there. But, man, would you pay that much for that tiny, tiny space? So you could not be a big person, I can tell you that. A vertical suite, a kitchen, dining room, parlor on the first floor, a double living room on the second floor, a top floor master bedroom suite. A trap door in the kitchen floor leads to a basement. They do have large windows in the front and the back of the house and skylight and all that other stuff. But 2.7, it's one of the most preserved neighborhoods, though, so somebody will cough up that coin. You know it. Somebody will come up with the money to live in the skinny, skinny little house. Let's roll back the clock and time for this day in history. If we look at August 27th, what has happened in the past, couple of interesting things, including Tarzan being born, or at least coming to life. Tarzan of the Apes was published by Edgar Rice Burroughs in 1912. How about that? Also, in 1858, the first cabled news dispatch was sent and published by the New York Sun newspaper. You know what the story was about? It was about China meeting the peace demands of England and France. In 1970, the Troubadour in L.A. was the venue of singer Elton John's first concert ever. He's still doing concerts in the United States, and a record company executive for UNI Records signed Elton John to a recording contract. Man, he pumps out. He pumped out for a long time, lots of albums. Remember Yellow Brick Road? How many people had that? Mm-hmm. 1981, divers that were poking into the wreckage of the luxury cruise ship, the Andrea Doria, got two safes from the purser's office. It sank, of course, in a collision with a Swedish liner, the Stockholm. What was in the safes? About $1 million in cash and jewelry. 1984, new face hooked up on 60 Minutes. Don Hewitt, of course, died earlier this week. We talked about it. He was the creator of 60 Minutes. Diane Sawyer became the fifth reporter on the top-rated TV news mag. Of course, you had Mike Wallace, Morley Safer, Harry Reasoner, Ed Bradley at the time, and they welcomed Sawyer into the club. All right, now it's time for birthdays. We have some music, Maestro. All right, celebrating a birthday, Alexa Vega. She's 21. She's the big sister, Carmen Cortez and Spy Kids. I've seen those movies. If you have kids or nieces or nephews or grandkids, you've probably seen at least one of them. How about this one? Alex Lifeson, 56 years old, the lead guitarist of the Canadian rock band Rush. I know a lot of people that are fans of Rush. Pee Wee Herman, how old is he? 57 years old, Paul Rubin's real name. Had a good career, sadly was arrested for indecent exposure. That was that hurt him, I think, a little bit. Barbara Bach. Remember her as a Bond girl from The Spy Who Loved Me? She married Ringo Starr, the Beatle. 62 years old. Tuesday Weld, at one time a sex kitten. In fact, she did a teen flick called Sex Kittens Go to College, 66 years old. From the Captain and Tennille, Daryl Dragon, 67 years old. Remember their song Love Will Keep Us Together? Probably their most famous, I think, of all. If LBJ were alive today, the 36th U.S. president would be 101 years old. How about that? Remember to keep trying, everybody. Grab that brass ring. Nothing's stopping you.